sing these wonderful songs that the choir has been diligent in preparing. Just doesn't get any better than being able to proclaim the message of Christmas through song. God has gifted many with the ability to sing and to sing in such a really unique and profound way. So we're very thankful for the choir members and the cantata. It was really just a really, really beautiful presentation. I'd invite you this time to turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And in a moment, I'll read verses 15 through 20 in a sermon that I've titled this morning, Making Christmas Merry. Making Christmas Merry. Every season celebrated in America is different from the next. At the beginning of the year, we celebrate by usually watching a ball drop in New York City, and we wish people a happy new year. Around March and April, we celebrate Easter. We tell people he is risen, to which people respond, he is risen indeed. We celebrate the 4th of July, usually with fireworks, and Thanksgiving with tons of food. And then we come to Christmas, which has become, in many respects, a season for which we celebrate ourselves. And over the last several messages, we have been discussing the importance of Christians standing out from the world, especially with regards to our Christmas celebrations. It's important for us to get back really to the basics of Christmas so that we might properly understand how it really needs to be celebrated and what Christmas is really about. As we currently sit 6 days away from Christmas, we know that Christ has already become in believers the hope and the assurance of glory. My hope is that we will have a fresh idea of what our response as Christians should be this Christmas as we celebrate looking back to what happened over 2,000 years ago. With your Bibles open to Luke chapter 2, would you follow along? I'm going to read verses 15 through 20. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse number 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Now in this passage, we see four different methods of serving God, of bringing praise to him and ensuring if we apply them that we will also have a merry Christmas. We see the shepherds making known abroad the news of the birth of Christ as they went and they told others of all the things that they had seen and heard. Those that heard the news were told, wondered with astonishment. We hear that Mary pondered, that she meditated, that she thought about all these things in her heart, all the things that had just happened to her. And then we're told about the shepherds again. As they leave, it says they left glorifying and praising God. Now, these four responses will be our focal point this morning as we look at this passage. And I'd like to think that each of these responses were important. And I believe that when each of these responses are all combined, all these mental emotions, all these outward expressions that will help us have the proper and the effective praise of God that we should. At some point this week, we will all gather with family, with friends, whether in our homes or friends of our loved ones, and we should be encouraged to tell our loved ones about the great things that Christ has done for us and how he has had compassion on us. There's no greater story that is worth sharing to people that you love than how Christ has worked personally in your life, how Christ has made you a new creation. The news of Jesus Christ, our Savior, is news that is worth telling everyone. And that's exactly what we see the shepherds doing first here. Notice again verses 15 through 17. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. The first thing we see is that the shepherds celebrated this very first Christmas by making known abroad all the things they had seen and heard about Christ, the Savior born in Bethlehem. It was incredible news that had been delivered to them by the angels. It was incredible for them to go to exactly where the angels said they were going to find Jesus, to see him lying in the manger. It was a story. It was news that was worth them telling everyone. The story of the shepherds was that same story which the prophets of old had anticipated. And now Jesus Christ had arrived in human flesh on earth. He had arrived to them. They had found the answer to man's greatest problem, sin. As God had entered humanity as a baby in a manger and would save his people from their sins. And the shepherds, they ran throughout the streets that night, proclaiming this wonderful, this incredible, this life-changing news. It was the greatest news for mankind. And these lowly shepherds were the first ones to publish this news abroad. They had seen the angels. They had heard the proclamation of the angels. Something strange, but something new and exciting. And then the shepherds saw more than angels. They saw the King of Kings. They saw the Redeemer. They saw the Savior of the world. It was the music of heaven that led them to run to that manger. It was their faith that saw the hope and the salvation of mankind within that manger. They had seen God in human flesh, and being silent about something so great, something so life-changing, was not even a question. It was not even an option, rather. They were led by the melody of angels, and they left with faith in Jesus Christ, and they told everyone outside that stable that night. Now, our story may be a little different than the shepherds told that night, but isn't the story of how we were changed forever by Jesus Christ a story that is also worth telling? If we're claiming to be Christians, who could possibly get upset with us for telling others about the Christ that we claim to follow? The blessed story of Christ entering humanity for our sake, bleeding and dying and taking the punishment for your sin, for my sin, so that we don't have to suffer eternally, coming down to earth so that we might have the opportunity to then go up to heaven. The story of Christ is the most profitable story for all who hear it, and those who tell it the most find it easier and easier to tell, and those who tell it the least have more reason to feel the guilt for this sinful silence. Now, I love the way Scripture puts it here in verse number 17. Notice again what it says. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. The shepherds didn't have to make an excuse for publishing the news of Christ everywhere they went. They had first received this glorious message from the angels of heaven, and they were proudly publishing this news. This wasn't news they figured out on their own. They hadn't been studying and studying prophecies and calculating that the Messiah would be born on this specific day in this specific location. This news was revealed to them by the Lord himself as he sent an angel down who stated, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." From heaven, God sent this announcement of the birth of his son to the shepherds. And when God entrusts man with a wonderful message, he is bound to deliver the good tidings to all. The heavenly chorus of angels was not intended to be a one-time deliverance of the glorious message of Christ, but it was intended to be received by the shepherds and to have them go and spread the news themselves, to make known abroad what was told them. God hadn't told the angels about the birth of Christ with the intent that they would just even keep the news to themselves. They came to earth and proclaimed good news to man. When you fast forward into the life and ministry of Christ, Jesus himself said this in Matthew 10, verse 27. "What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops." As I stand before you here this morning and I share with you the word of God, you have all heard a word from heaven. You have all heard word directly from God that has been delivered unto you, and if you're born again, you have the Spirit of God bearing witness of God's truth with you, and he is teaching you of heavenly truths. Therefore, as the shepherds did, so must you and I go and do. We must go and make abroad these things which we have seen and heard as it has been delivered unto us. Let it be that we're making Christmas merry this year by telling our family and friends about all that God has done for us, about all that Christ has revealed and made known to us through his word and through his Holy Spirit. Go and tell them of how great things God has done for you. Go and tell them about how the Lord has had compassion on you. Go and tell them about what Christmas really is all about. Go and tell them that Christ is what Christmas is all about. That without Christ, there is no Christmas. Go and tell them that while Christ did enter humanity as a little baby in a manger, he came to offer himself as the atonement for mankind. Jesus Christ came to save people from their sins. Go and tell your family and friends the greatest news that has been given to you, that while you were once a poor, filthy wretch, you bowed before the all-merciful God. You came before him in repentance of your sins, and you received forgiveness from all your sin. Go and tell them of the peace that passeth all understanding, which is keeping your heart through Christ Jesus, because he saved your eternal soul. Go and tell them where fullness of joy and everlasting peace is found. Go and tell them about Jesus. These shepherds made known abroad a message that they understood. They were first told by the angels, but they immediately went and saw Jesus for themselves. They published a message that they had full confidence in because it wasn't just secondhand information for them. They had been eyewitnesses to the birth of Christ. No person can really have success in speaking about Christ until he's first experienced Christ himself. No person can fully explain the saving nature of Jesus until they have first been saved and experienced that saving grace upon themselves. The words of God in Scripture, they need to be made real to us in our own personal lives before we can properly and effectively communicate them. The gospel that we proclaim, it is a revealed gospel. And as we believed on it, our hearts have tried it, have proved it, have grasped it, have felt it, have made it become real to us as we've sensed and felt its power and truth. Now, we may not understand everything there is to know about the grace of God, but we've certainly felt the power of the grace of God as it has saved us. Grace has revealed sin to us better. It has revealed just how wicked we are and how much we've been forgiven. Grace has removed that domineering power that sin once had over us, and it has given Christ to reign over us and the Holy Spirit to dwell now within us. Now, as we understand this great working of God within us, now we're to go and to tell those around us. Don't just tell them about some great historical figure and a man named Jesus who lived long ago and did some good things here on this earth. Tell them what he's done for you personally, how you've proved him to be real in your life time and time again. Some of you may think that you're not qualified to go and tell others about Jesus, that you're not eloquent enough to stand before people, even if it's people that you know, and speak about Jesus. Let me remind you of who it was that we're discussing here in Luke chapter 2. It was the shepherds, it says, who made known abroad the message of Jesus Christ. Now, shepherds in those days were very uneducated men. Uneducated men who were also not the most put together, not usually the most eloquent and well-spoken. I'd be surprised if some of these men could even read at all. Their occupation did not require such level of skill. Therefore, many of them didn't pursue further education. Yet with as uneducated as these shepherds may have been, they proclaimed the message of Christ quite well. And quite frankly, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ was never intended to be done by only the most well-educated and only the most eloquent speakers. It was intended for all believers everywhere to proclaim. Whether you are 5 years old or 95 years old, whether you've been to college or you've never been to college, if you're saved, God has required you to not keep the glorious message of grace and truth to yourself. Before my wife and I moved back up here to New York, we were living in Florida and serving in a church down there where the pastor was this old country farmer who was incredibly uneducated, didn't even have full high school education. But let me tell you something. This man could preach your socks off. This man could open up scripture and preach like no one has ever preached before. He said one thing to me once. He said, there's always going to be a better preacher than me, but no one can ever preach a better message than this. And that is absolutely true. And when I think of that, I think of these shepherds. There's always going to be a better preacher than these shepherds. They couldn't even formulate full sentences at times, but there is never a better message that can be proclaimed than what these shepherds proclaimed. You may not be able to expound on every little detail of how Christ has done everything for you, but you can certainly tell those around you of what you know Christ has done for you. If you cannot speak in front of a large group of people, make it a point to speak with at least one person this Christmas. Be not ashamed to tell your story. Don't ever think that there's a bad time to tell your story either. As long as you have life and even breath within you, there is time for you to tell others about what Jesus has done for you. Now, don't try to tell too much. Don't try to tell more to make it sound better. Just keep it simple as you explain the great things that Christ has personally done for you. And be specific that it was all the working of Christ within you that saved you. And since you know that you're a sinner and that Jesus is our great Savior, focus on those two points. And trust me, God will use your words to bring an increase to the people that listen to your words. And let me just encourage you, in case you're thinking that there is someone better out there again. There's always going to be someone better out there. But this message is a life-changing message. Don't shy away from sharing Christ because you think you're not good enough. Share with those around you the blessed hope that you have because of what Christ has done for you. As we continue down this passage, we come to a second way to make Christmas merry. And that is seen through the response of those who heard the message of the shepherds. Look again at verse number 18. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Many that hear the gospel are caused to wonder. Many are content to hear it, if not pleased to hear this message, especially around Christmas time. If it's not something new, a story, we hear it all the time. Yet there are maybe new ways of sharing this truth and sharing the gospel, and many are pleased to hear it explained a different way. Some of the people described in verse number 18 here probably wondered how such a story could ever be told by some uneducated shepherds. After all, shepherds can hardly construct a proper sentence, and here they're telling such a clear and an influential message. Some of the people probably wondered how such things have ever entered into the minds of these people, where they learned such things, why it was that they were so eager and so excited to share such things, and what changed them that all of a sudden they're able to speak so clearly and so concisely. I'm sure that there were some in the group that are mentioned here in verse number 18 that wondered for several hours, maybe even for several days after this, at what the shepherds had told them that night. And eventually, the wonder faded away. But I also believe that some wondered to the point of searching out the matter for themselves. Many of us are led to wonder when we see the working of God around us. We hear about God working in such a unique and a very powerful way where we know that the only possible explanation to what we've seen and what we've experienced had to be that God had gone and arranged all the details, and we're left to then wonder in amazement at how awesome God is. It is good to wonder about that working of God. While we wonder alone, though, that is never just good enough. It is a good place to start. As you tell people about Christ, your hope is that they not only begin to wonder, but then it goes much deeper than that. As you explain to them that God has redeemed you from the eternal punishment of your sin, instead of just wiping you off the face of the earth and just condemning you to hell forever, that should lead them to wonder about the grace of God. The fact that Christ set aside his glory in heaven and entered humanity to take even your place on the cross is so marvelous and so worthy to wonder over. While you were deep in sin, Christ still loved you and has paid the debt of sin for you. That no person is ever beyond the reach of God to save, as you're explaining all this, is cause for everyone to wonder. The fact that you weren't ever good enough to earn the favor of God on your own, or to earn God's gift of his only begotten Son on your own, and yet God still sent Jesus for you, is cause for wonder. The more you're pouring out your soul over all the things that God has done for you, the more you're going to cause people to wonder with amazement at what God could possibly do for them. Wondering is good, especially when it leads people to gratitude, to worship, to love, and eventually confidence in our Savior. Now, looking down at verse number 19, we see the third way in which we can make Christmas merry. We see Mary's response to the visit of the shepherds and the birth of Jesus. It says in verse 19, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." She kept her response to herself, pondered them in her heart. Now, when we break down Mary's response, there are three things that we see. She exercised her memory. Mary has kept all these things. We see her intellect. She pondered, it says, and we see her affection. She pondered them in her heart. Now, this seems to fit that Mary is the most concerned out of all of them over everyone on earth, considering that she was the one who has just delivered baby Jesus. Those who are closest to Jesus will ultimately get the most out of Jesus. The closer you get to the Lord, the more you grow to appreciate the Lord. And the more you find you need him, you begin to recognize that Christ is everything to you. He becomes the air to your lungs, that you can't even go a few moments without thinking of him and fellowshipping with him, whether in prayer or whether in his word. Is Christ everything to you that you cannot help but share him to someone in your life? Is Christ everything to you that to the point that he's the one that you naturally bring up in your day-to-day conversations? It may be that this Christmas, no one seems to respond the way you would hope that they would respond if you shared Christ with them. But at the end of the day, when all the dust is settled, you still have Jesus. You may feel discouraged because maybe you've been praying for someone in your family. Maybe you've been praying for that one person to finally open up their heart, to finally receive Jesus as their Savior. And no one responds the way you hoped. Jesus is still there to offer you peace and comfort and to encourage you that believers are not responsible to God for the souls that are saved, but we are responsible for the gospel that is proclaimed and for the way in which we proclaim it. So proclaim it with confidence. Many people get discouraged because they seem to think that their witnessing is ineffective. They don't see the results they were hoping. And that's why many people don't bother speaking about Christ at all, because they just chalk it up in their mind that it's always going to be met with rejection. We're not called to make results. We're called to just proclaim Christ. We need to let him, God, be the one who brings the increase. Now, the fourth way to make Christmas merry is to do as the shepherds did in verse number 20, to glorify God and give him praise. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Remember when the angel of the Lord declared to the shepherds that night where they would find Jesus, the shepherds immediately went to see them. Look at back at verse number 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And then verse 16 tells us, and it says, "And they came with haste." They went immediately after the angels departed from them to go and to see this wonderful birth that was announced to them. They didn't waste a single moment. Now, having seen Jesus, they went and proclaimed everywhere. And then it says they returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. What do? They return to their duties, watching their flocks by night. They return to their business. If we're going to glorify God, we need to keep active in our business. Some people get the notion that the only way that we can ever be active in serving God is if we become a missionary, or if we become a preacher, or if we become an evangelist, because aside from those, there is no way to be actively serving God where we are. Now, certainly God does call some to be missionaries, to be preachers, to be evangelists, but he doesn't call everyone to do that. The shepherds went back to their sheep pens. They went back to their sheep. And they went back completely different, because now they were glorifying and praising God as they went back to their business. It's not about having a certain position or a certain title to feel that now you can do what you've finally been wanting to do for God because you have this position or you've been called in this degree. It's not about that. It is grace that will enable us to glorify God wherever we are. God can be glorified in your workplaces as much as God is glorified in our churches or even on the mission field. God is glorified by us keeping our positions, keeping our jobs, wherever God has led you to be when he saves you, unless you're absolutely certain that God is sending you somewhere else. Stay where you are and glorify God where he's led you to be. The shepherds glorified God and didn't stop being shepherds. They praised God as they returned to their jobs. And if they did, certainly we can do the same as well. Sometimes I think there is so much for us to learn from these shepherds than what we realize. These shepherds, who again probably were not the most educated men, had no trouble praising and glorifying God. In fact, they had no trouble finding the baby Jesus. But wise men, who were told in Matthew chapter 2, were led by the star and wanted to find exactly where he was. We were told that they found themselves in some of the wrong places, couldn't nearly have the same directions as the shepherds did, and didn't find Jesus until years later. Now, no one would argue that the wise men weren't smarter than the shepherds. You're called wise men for a reason. But somehow the wise men get lost when the shepherds found him immediately. Sometimes simple minds are able to see Jesus clearer. Where more educated people end up confusing themselves and misseeing what happens to be right in front of their faces. And with regards to the difference between the wise and the simple, someone once said this: "These simpletons have entered into the kingdom, while we educated men have been fumbling for the latch on the door." It is true that we often complicate what God has made simple. When all that you're focused on is showing your love for your Savior, it will be easy for you to praise and to glorify him. Our singing will be less murmuring or sounds of mourning. It'll be filled with joy and gladness as we sing wonderful words of praise to our Savior. May God help us, as the shepherds did here, to really glorify and praise him as he deserves to be glorified and praised. And one final thought on these shepherds. I want you to notice verse number 20 as what we see the subject of their praising. Verse 20, it says, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them." We have reason to praise God every time we hear the gospel presented, even if we're already saved. The message of the gospel to believers should never be a dull and a boring and a message we've heard 100 times that we just don't need to hear it again. It should be a cause of celebration to us as it reminds us of what glories our Savior has done for us. I will never forget holding my children for the first time when they were born. I will never forget the rush of emotions that came over me. Thinking about it years later still brings a smile to my face. Why should it be any different when we're reminded of how God has made salvation possible to us and how he's saved us by his grace? What would souls in hell give if they could hear the gospel just one more time and have an opportunity for God's grace to be upon them? Praise God for what we have heard and what we've seen, and share that with your friends and family this Christmas. The shepherds praised God for what they had seen, it says. If you're saved, you've personally seen what the Lord can do in your life. And that, again, should be reason for you to glorify God and to share what you've seen him do. Hearing the gospel is good and may even cause you to be happy deep within, but your soul isn't fully touched until it sees with the eyes of faith what God can do to your repentant heart. The message of the gospel is an unchanging message, but it is a life-changing message. It is a message that all need to hear, especially at Christmas. And if you've heard and seen the gospel work in your life as Christ has brought his grace upon you, please don't let your tongues be tied in silence this Christmas. Go home and wonder on the message of Jesus. Spend time pondering and treasuring up in your hearts all that has been mentioned here over these last few services. And then glorify and praise God for all the things you have seen and heard him do as you tell others of what great things he has done for you and how our Savior has had compassion on you. Would you bow with me in prayer this morning? Heavenly Father, we are so, so very thankful to be gathered here in your house this morning. Lord, to hear these wonderful songs that speak about, Lord, Old Testament prophecies hundreds of years before your Son would come, all of which were fulfilled so perfectly. And Lord, looking back on these events, Lord, we are just so thankful for all that transpired, because we know, Lord, that it was all done for our benefit, our eternal benefit. Lord, may we come to you with praise. May we come to you worshiping you for all that you are, all that you have done for us. And Lord, may your praise never leave our lips. We love you, and we are so very thankful for the opportunity, Lord, to be a recipient of your grace and your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.